But I know we're all searching for answers only you can provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect.
It's who you are. It's who you are. All righty. Thank you, choir. Before we get going with the message the Lord has laid on my heart, will you bow with me one more time for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much, God, that we are able to gather into your house this morning, free to worship you, free to praise your name, free to lift you up. Father, we know that not all believers all over the world get to enjoy what we enjoy every single week, and the ability to bring our families and to come with our friends and to fellowship together and to just worship who you are and to open your word. So, Father, we remember those this morning, those who are facing persecution, those who are facing violence against them for what they believe. Father, we pray that you be with them, that your peace would cover their lives, Father, that in their persecution, Father, they know that you are with them, that you walk through this suffering and these valleys with us. And Father, for us this morning, as we open your word, Father, I thank you for the work you're already doing in the hearts of everyone in here, Father. I pray that you continue this work. Lord, move me aside and let your word speak truth into all of our hearts this morning. And when it comes time for us to leave here this morning, that we leave here differently than we arrived. We love you, Father, and we thank you for everything you've done for us. It's your name I pray. Amen. If you have your passage of scripture, we are going to be in the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And as you're turning there, last week, my dad, our pastor, I don't know what to call him from the pulpit. Is he brother buddy? Is he my pastor? Is he my dad? He's all of the above. He finished up his series on 2020 vision last week, where he made the claim and the challenge for us as a church to catch God's vision for us this coming year. And so what I wanted to do this morning, as you're turning to Joshua, is I wanted to piggyback off of that a little bit. I wanted to expound a little bit on the claim that Dad has set forward for us over the past month, because it's something that spoke to my heart very closely. The reasons being is, if it wasn't for God's vision and his provision and his guiding and leading me over these last 6 months of my life, I have no idea where I would be. My life has been put on the spin cycle just over the last 6 months. So it started in August whenever I had a baby girl, Olivia, who all of you have met, and she is the star of the show everywhere she goes. Perfect baby. But that happened in August. We just celebrated 6 months. Her six-month birthday was this past Friday, the 7th. But after that, in August, in September, the church I was the youth pastor at, the pastor decided to resign and step down from the pulpit. So that happened in September. So in October and November of the church I'm at, I've been thrust as the only ministerial staff member in the church, and all these responsibilities just thrown upon me. And then in December, I get come here to preach in view of a call, and the Lord presses on mine and Kelsey's heart that this is where he wants us to serve. And then this past January, we began our ministry here. And so that has been the last 6 months of my life. And if you looked at my life in July of last year and look at my life now, I'm in a completely different place in several ways that is true. And if it wasn't for God's vision and God's provision in my life, guiding me through those times, I would be consumed by the chaos and uncertainty that all this newness has brought me. See, the thing about chaos and uncertainty is that it's something that happens to all of us at some point. All of us have felt like we've just been through the ringer, like things hit us in our lives and we just out of the blue and we have no answer for it. It can be a workplace transition. It could be a bad doctor's report. It can be marital issues. It can be for your students. It could be just how you are at school and how kids treat you in your classes. Chaos and uncertainty marks us everywhere we go. And if you look even larger at our world today, you can see chaos and uncertainty everywhere in our culture today. It's in our politics, in our entertainment, in our sports, in our universities, in our own community here. The world seems to be marked with this searching and reaching and a lot of confusion out there. And so I think this is something that we can all relate to. And if we as the believers, the question I want us to ponder as we look at in the book of Joshua is, what is, in response to this world of chaos and uncertainty, what is God's vision for us as a church? What is God's vision for us in response to the chaos and uncertainty in life? And let me tell you, if you are currently in a season in life that you would define that way as very chaotic, very with a lot of up in the air, a lot of uncertainty in my life right now, let me give you some encouragement. The one we're going to be studying about, looking at today, can relate to you in a very personal way, and he could show us how to trust God in similar circumstances. So, without any further ado, Joshua chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first 9 verses. Very famous passage of scripture we're going to be reading this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. Not any particular reason. It's just easy to read and easy to understand. So that's the one I chose. All right. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Here's what it says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continuously. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the character of Joshua is a personal favorite of mine. I have always, ever since I was a young boy, loved the character of Joshua. And whenever I say that, it's a bit different than whenever my dad says he has a favorite, because everything is my dad's favorite. You guys know that. He has a million favorite verses. He has a million favorite characters. Joshua, for as long as I have lived, has been a personal favorite of mine. How many of you know the old Ten Commandments film with Charlton Heston as that portrayed Moses, and Josh Derrick, who portrayed Joshua? Ever since I was a boy and saw that movie, I have loved the character of Joshua. He was just the coolest. I used to, when I was young, I used to act out scenes that he was in. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, how do you get more of a preacher's kid than that? But yeah. Yeah, that's, I loved Joshua. And so whenever I was studying for this message and the Lord was drawing me to the book of Joshua, I was very excited. But as I began to read this very famous calling that God gives Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, I had a revelation. I realized something that I never realized before, at least not to this degree, when I read this chapter. And what I realized is that we are Joshua. We are all Joshua. If you are a believer here this morning, you are Joshua sitting in that pew. I'm Joshua up here in this pulpit. We as a church are Joshua. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that if you look at what Joshua was called to do in light of who Joshua was coming behind, you can find direct parallels to our situation as the body of Christ and as the church today. You see, the benefit of living at this point in time in history that we live is that we see the Bible holistically in a completed way. We can see that the entire Bible is pointing to Jesus Christ as the Savior and Messiah of the world. And the Bible does something. The Bible does something that in Jesus' life that we don't understand as Americans, but something that Jewish people understood a lot if they read the New Testament. And it is a clear parallel between Jesus and his life and Moses and his life. I can spend this entire time and probably the next several weeks dissecting the similarities between Moses and Jesus, but just to give you a little bit of an idea, here are two ways both Moses and Jesus, when they were born, they were born in a time when God's people was under severe oppression, and both of them were born with tyrannical rulers wanting to wipe out an entire generation of God's people by murdering all of the firstborn males of a generation. For Moses, it was Pharaoh. For Jesus, it was Herod. Both Moses and Jesus escaped this genocide and this cleansing. Moses finding refuge in Pharaoh's daughter, an Egyptian woman, and Jesus found refuge by Mary and Joseph fleeing to Egypt. Moses is set up as the deliverer of God's people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and Jesus is presented as the Messiah to deliver God's people from their own bondage. Through Moses, God instituted the tradition of Passover by instructing him and his people to stay indoors and to paint lamb's blood over their doors so the angel of death may pass over them. And Jesus, on Passover, gave himself as the sacrificial lamb of God to defeat death so death may pass over us. You see, through Moses, God gave the law, and through Jesus, God fulfilled the law. There is a direct parallel between the person in the life of Moses and the person in the life of Jesus. So, with that being said, who was Moses to Joshua? Joshua was his successor after Moses had went on to heaven. So now, who is Jesus' successor now that he is gone? Well, it's his church. It's the body of Christ. You see, Jesus is our Moses, and we are his Joshua. After he has completed his work here on earth, he has commissioned and called the church to continue the work that Christ started, that we are to be his hands and feet in this earth, and we are to continue to proclaim the name of Christ to our world that is filled with chaos and uncertainty. We are Joshua. And in light of that, in light of knowing our role, I always loved doing this. When I was growing up, before I went to school and learned how to really read and apply the Bible in a more intellectual way, I would always, let me know if you may be able to relate to this. Have you ever read the Bible and read a story in the Bible and it kind of not makes sense, and so you try to latch on to a certain character in the story, and you try to latch on and try to relate some way to a character in the story in order to understand it. Has anybody else ever done that? Well, see, let me tell you, if you are a believer today and you are part of the body of Christ, you can identify exactly with what Joshua is going through here in Joshua chapter 1. And by doing that, we can see two encouragements that we can glean from this chapter that Joshua gives us, and we can see one challenge that he's given us. So in the time we have together, let's just run through it. The first encouragement that we can see in Joshua chapter 1 is that we are all called to lead. That you are considered a leader by God. That you, if you are a member of God's church, if you are part of the body of Christ, that you are called to lead. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verses 1 and 2 of our passage of scripture this morning. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and to the land I am giving them. You see, if you are here this morning, this is a call that is placed on you. Now that Jesus has ascended to his place on the throne, now that he is by God's side, looking over, and we are awaiting his second coming to come and redeem the world and finish the work he has started. Since he is no longer here on earth with us, the time has come for you to lead. The time has come for you to go out and to proclaim who he is to our world. You see, when I was 16 years old, God did an amazing work in my heart underneath this bridge in San Antonio, where I was asked to preach to a bunch of homeless people down there. And as I was preaching, this was the first time I ever preached before. I never did. This was the first time ever to a large group of people. And I bombed. Like, I just was not good. I was super nervous. I was talking really fast. I was really, really sweaty. My mouth was super dry. And I blew through the whole thing in about 5 minutes. And it was not good. Not like my sermon this morning, which I'm killing. But I'm just kidding. Well, I've been here a month. Y'all don't know my humor yet. Sorry. But it was not good. And I walk off from in front and just feeling defeated. Like I didn't do very well. I didn't present God's word well. I kind of butchered it, and I just didn't feel encouraged about it. And then we go and move into the invitation, and these five Hispanic homeless girls give their life to Christ that day. And it was that day that I realized God's call on my life, even though I was vastly underqualified. Even though I had no idea what I was doing, I didn't feel like I did a good job at all. It wasn't about any of that. It was about the work God was doing. And then if I stay faithful to him, he would stay faithful to move because of the work he's doing. And it had nothing to do with me. And let me tell you what that day was. That was the day that I felt called to go into the ministry. But that was not the day that God called me to lead. See, God called me to lead when he called me to himself, when he called me to follow him, when he called me to belief in him. That's whenever I was called to lead. And that is something, if you are here today and you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's a story that you all can relate to. That's a story you all know, and that's an experience you all have felt. This isn't just something where we get to sit down and we get to be like, okay, well, that's what the minister does, that's what the pastor does, that's what they do. They're the leaders, they're the ones who lead us, they're the ones who proclaim God's word, they're the ones who lead out, and we have our own jobs. No. If you are here today and you are a part of the body of Christ, you have been called to lead out. Now you may be sitting there and saying, "Well, I'm not a leader. That's not my gift. I don't want to stand in front of people. I don't want to direct people. I don't want to do that. That's not really what I feel called to do in my life." That may be some of you be like, "Heck yeah, I'll stand in front of everybody. I'll tell you how to live your life. I'll tell you what you should be doing. I'll tell you where you're failing at." So that we have very different spectrums of what we're expecting to do. But you have to understand the leadership that God has called you to, and the leadership especially Jesus prescribed to, is very different than the definition of leadership I think we sometimes adopt in our own minds. Here, let me show you what I mean. In Mark chapter 10, in verses 43 through 45, Jesus intersects into a conversation or a question that his disciples asked of him. They asked him, which one of your disciples, Jesus, is going to be of the highest status in heaven? When you come and you establish your kingdom, which one of us is going to be at your right hand? Which one of us is going to be the guy next to you? And then Jesus goes into this long thing about what he expects from leaders and what he expects from his disciples and how they should lead. And this is what he says. "But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave to everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, you are called to lead out, but you're not called to lead out like we understand leadership. A cruise director standing in front of everyone, telling them what they should be doing, pointing out things that they need to do better in their lives. But we are called to lead like Jesus led. That means pouring out of our lives, serving and investing in people who need to hear who he is. Serving and pouring out, investing your time, investing your resources, investing everything the Lord has blessed your life with towards his kingdom and furthering what he has called us to. That is how you lead. That is what the leadership that we are called to do as a church to this lost and dying world. That's one encouragement. The second encouragement we get is that we see that God's promises are given to us. That God's promises have fallen to us. They cover us. Look back with us at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what it says. "I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." See, whenever I read verses here, I keep on being reminded of my favorite Disney movie of all time, which is The Lion King. And I'm reminded of that scene where Mufasa takes Simba up in the morning as the sun rises, and he says to him, "Everything the light touches is our kingdom." That was a really bad James Earl Jones impression. You get the idea. Anyway, but that's kind of what God is saying to Joshua at this time. He's saying, listen, everything that I promised to Moses, everything that I said I would deliver to Moses, all those promises are now to you. Those are the promises I make to you in your life, Joshua. That everywhere you go, every day of your life, everywhere you step from this day forward, you are stepping on land that I have given you. You have stepped on land that is mine. That the people of God, as you usher them and lead them into the promised land, that it is called that because I have promised it to you. And the same is true for us today. So many times we can be consumed by looking at the world around us, by looking about everything that is going wrong. Because we think that now is worse than ever for some reason. I don't believe that to be true. I think now we have more information than we ever had before, so we can see very clearly the brokenness and lostness of this world that has always been. The world has always needed a savior, has always needed direction, has always needed the light that the church has forever. It has always needed that. It has always been what it is, but now we see it so much clearly and all the time, and it can feel very overwhelming. It can feel like something insurmountable, a task that is so huge on our lives that we can't possibly even begin to step out in what we believe. But the truth of God's word is that God's promises that he has made to his people, all the promises God has made to his people, he has made to you. All of God's promises fall to us. All over 8,000 of them that are recorded in Scripture. God's promises cover us, even the one that says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And the one, that one promise that says, "I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." These promises are the promises of God placed on you as a believer in God and as a member of his body. So with that being said, he moves into the challenge. So he encourages you by saying that you are to lead, that you are called to lead. And he encourages you by saying, all the promises and everything I did for Moses, I'm going to do it for you too. I promise you that. And so he gives us a challenge. And that challenge is, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all my instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continuously. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, that may seem like another encouragement. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you wherever you go. But the fact of the matter is that's a challenge sometimes. Is that's more of a command and a call that we must do, is be strong and courageous. And it's not always easy. For our brothers and sisters in India today, being strong and courageous is a big ask. Facing persecution, having the places that we gather, can you imagine being burned to the ground? Having threats that you would be killed just for what you believe? Being strong and courageous isn't always easy. And I'm not here this morning to pretend that the state of our church, the state of our country, the state of our world, that it's not difficult. That it's always going to be rainbows and butterflies, that everywhere we go, that the Lord has promised you health, wealth, and prosperity, that because you follow Jesus, that everything is just going to fall in line for you in your life. Anyone who's been a Christian longer than 2 seconds knows that that's not true. But the difficulties and the lostness of this world don't leave us just because we follow Christ. In fact, we find the real difference between us and our world. And we get to see how difficult it can be. But the call and the challenge on your life is the same. Be strong and courageous. Why should we be strong and courageous? Because of all the promises he has given us. Because he is walking with us through this. That in light of what we are to be as the church, is that we are to go to the places that no one else wants to go. We are to minister to the people everyone else has written off. Everyone else says will never be redeemed, who will never overcome anything. That we are to go into those places of darkness and to shine the light of Christ in them. And we do that not on our own power, but on the power of Christ. On the power of God moving and working and us being faithful to stay connected with him. We are strong and we are courageous because God goes with us wherever we go. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, as Joshua says. So that is the call for us as believers, for us as the church. And you may be sitting there this morning thinking, oh, well, I'm a part of the church, but I'm just one person. I'm just a member. Like, I just attend here. I just sit here, and I come on Sundays, and I come on Wednesdays, and I sit in my spot, and I listen to the message, and I get fed, and then I pray, and I worship, and I say, thank you, God, and then I go, then I live my life. And that's not what it means to be the church. Because the Lord is working in you, and the Lord is working through you, and the Lord is working through us collectively and us individually. And everywhere we go, we are ambassadors for Christ as members of his body, proclaiming his name in everything we do. Because let me tell you something, the world is watching. The world is singing. The world is listening. And so in everything we do, we must be strong, we must be courageous, and we must stay with the vision, as Dad said over the last few weeks, the vision that he has given us and what he has directed us to be. So we are to be strong strong in our commitment to the truth of God's word. We are to be strong in our bond together as the people of God. And we must be strong in our relentless serving and pouring out of our lives for the furtherance of God's kingdom. We are to be strong and courageous. Courageous in the sacrificial love we show to those who are broken, lost, angry, and difficult to love. We are to be courageous in our boldness to stay true to God's word as the true word of God. To be courageous, to humble ourselves and exalt Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know a message like this, depending on where you are in your life, may be easier to hear than other points in your life. Some of us may have felt in our lives that like we're just, like church is something that we come to and something we enjoy, but never something that we take out. That we take out into the world, that we take out into our lives, but it could sometimes feel like we're a consumer at a store and that church is a business. But let me tell you, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in who he is, then you are a part of his church, and his church is to be the ones leading out in humility and service and pouring out of others. So for some of you, that is the call that you've been ignoring your entire lives, and now is your opportunity to turn back to him. And for some of you, you may be coming to church and you may be listening about who Jesus is and about what Jesus has done and you're not sure about what you want. Let me tell you, he is inviting you into the adventure of a lifetime to share and to pour yourself out for a cause much greater than anything else you can do in this life. And so if you're here this morning and you want to take those steps of joining this church and joining the body of Christ in believers' baptism, and you want to join with us, now we're entering into a time where you will have an opportunity to do that. I will be here at the front. My dad will be here at the front. Our deacon of the week and his wife will be down here. And we would love to talk you through how to go about that. You may be here this morning and you just need to pray. Pray for us as a church that we would lead out, that we would be strong and courageous in how we minister to our community and to our world. Father, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, for the work the Holy Spirit is doing in this room this morning. I pray that you continue to stir and move in the hearts and lives of these people. And Lord, may they be strong and courageous to respond to the moving of your Spirit. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You guys stand as we worship together.